All right, so chapter 4, we're looking at Paul's final fatherly instructions and exhortations to his son in faith, Timothy. I feel like something's going to fall. He was an older person who had walked with the Lord through many seasons and situations. He was a veteran on the battlefield of life, knowing the hardship and wounds it does bring. And as a tough, experienced soldier in the Lord's army that fought the Lord's battles in ministry, Paul now pours out some final, heartfelt advice to help Timothy follow his pattern. There are three main things we're going to focus on that are the larger main points for this evening as we break up the verses into three groups. So one, keep doing what's right, even if others don't. And you're going to see that in verses 1-5. So one, keep doing what's right, even if others don't. Two, you're going to remain faithful and finish life well. See that in verses 6-8. Remain faithful and finish life well. And three, it's a necessary life skill to navigate personal difficulties. And you're going to see that in verses 9-22. And I'll repeat that again. It's a necessary life skill to navigate personal difficulties. So first, Paul charges Timothy. We must keep doing what's right, even if others don't. We must keep doing what's right, even if others don't. I feel like that should be like in our kitchen or somewhere where we can be reminded of it. We find this in verses 1-5, and let's hear Paul emphasizing this. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, fulfill your ministry. In verses 3-4, Paul gives a prophetic warning that some will turn from what's right. Specifically, people will turn away from the truth and listening to God's word. Paul, being inspired and led by the Holy Spirit in his spiritual insight and communication, as well as simply speaking from a reference point of discernment and maturity, indicates a time will come when people will lose the appetite of God's word, which we are seeing that now. Professing Christians will not tolerate the meat of teaching and sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is definition is healthy spiritual instruction, solid spiritual education. This is what is needed for solid, healthy, stable Christians through knowing truth. Yet sadly, a spirit of spiritual immaturity and selfishness will rule instead. The result, many people won't want solid biblical instruction to build up their spirit. They would rather hear something more fun, more entertaining, an enjoyable presentation, or things that approve their own desires and agree with their own thoughts and actions and never be challenged. People don't want to be challenged for what decisions they're making when they're headed in that direction. They're happy in their ways. Some will forsake solid Bible teaching, presenting God's word by the Spirit's power. We'll find people who scratch their itchy ear, meet their carnal interest instead, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, turning aside to empty falsehood. The application for us tonight, ladies, it's important we understand not all, sadly to say, of all Christian friends will continue in their commitment to God's word as highest authority to submit to. Some will lose interest in God's word and develop appetites for substitutes. Some will no longer submit to the truth and boundaries laid out in God's word. They will challenge you and question you. Let us be careful we do not drift into the same error, turning away from the truth. Paul, like a commanding officer in battle, gives Timothy a military command. Timothy, hold the line. I love that. Hold the line. In verse 1, he gives Timothy this charge, reminding him who he is ultimately accountable to. You are being observed by and will answer to who? To God. We're not going to answer to each other. We're going to answer to the Lord someday. When the Lord appears, we will appear before him for an inspection of our duties. He will evaluate and hold us accountable for how we lived, what we did, how did we serve. Application for us is knowing we will one day stand for this inspection before our Lord. That should be a strong motivator to keep doing what's right, even if others don't or won't anymore. Realize some will turn away from a solid commitment to the truth of God's word, and remember God's word is extremely valuable and important for spiritual health. Let's recall what is said in previous chapter, chapter 3, 14 through 17. Just look right above chapter 4. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Yet sadly, some would start to turn away from this truth unto worthless things. Paul challenges Timothy to hold the battle line despite the warfare. In verse 2, we see it says, preach the word. Keep presenting the word of God. Proclaim Scripture. Be ready. Do it routinely, and also when it's not convenient or harder. Use God's word to convince people of the truth, to show right ways, to see it clearly. Use God's word to rebuke people. Challenge error by truth of Scripture. Use God's word to exhort people, to inspire them to take steps of obedience. In doing this, it can be exhausting. It is exhausting. I should have wrote. But keep using God's word and keep teaching. Be patient. Trust the process. The good seed of God's word, what, doesn't return back void, right? You'll see the fruit in his timing. Then we see in verse 5, he informs Timothy he must stay alert and be aware. He must be willing to endure through painful rejection and discouragement, yet keep going, not lose heart or quit. It's easy, right? We get so discouraged. We're human. Even if he does not feel like evangelism comes easy or he is gifted at it, still do the work, keep presenting the gospel, inviting people to get saved. Fulfill your ministry, he says in this verse. Timothy had received an assignment and a mission from the Lord. He was to remain committed, despite what others did, to fulfill his responsibility. Now for us, I know some of you are probably like, what's my ministry? I know that would be me sitting there. This doesn't apply. I can ignore her for a minute. But the Lord has given us all a stewardship to serve him. We must fulfill whatever we know, and I can't answer that for you. Tony can't answer that for you, that what he has assigned or asked you to do or us to do. Do not focus on what others or other families are doing or not doing. Do not become discouraged or distracted by errors of other people. And do not let yourself drift, making excuses because others are doing the same. So ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do? Do you want me to be a Sunday school teacher? That's huge, to faithfully teach the word of God and break it down for them to be able to stand it. Do you want me to hold babies? Do you want me to come alongside the sisters who's really going through a hard time and just keep encouraging her and love on her? You know, you fill in the blank. I mean, there are so many things that the Lord could use you for. Just pray and seek him and ask him, and he will be faithful to show you what it is. If you're a mom, I'll tell you right now, that's one of your biggest, and they're little and they're in your house still, that should be your first above all ministry, because you have a limited time before they are out the door. And so I would encourage you moms, I would exhort you moms to do your very best with those little people in your house. Okay, where was I? So 1 Corinthians 15 says, through Christ's power, we can be steadfast and immovable. The Holy Spirit reminds us here, watching others, we will be tempted to drift spiritually. We can become subtly misguided to take the same course. We need to be determined to always keep doing what's right spiritually, even if others don't, even when others stop or turn away from us. We need to keep going. Okay, so the second main lesson Paul shows by personal example, it's totally possible to remain faithful and finish life well. It is totally possible to remain faithful and finish life well. You're going to see this in verses 6 through 8. In verse 6, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. So what's a drink offer? What does he mean by that? It was a voluntary offer. It was like an extra offering. Water or wine was poured out on the hot altar, and it would be quickly evaporated. But though it would be poured and out and consumed, it did give off a pleasing fragrance. The image of giving your all unto the Lord, pouring out your best unto him. He saw his life being poured out to honor the Lord, fully spent, not a drop left. Yet he wanted to pour out all he had to bring pleasure to the Lord through his offering unto him. A life poured out for the Lord is not wasted, but a life well used and well invested is. So I encourage you, I said something earlier about moms. I know you are tired. It's exhausting. I remember there were seasons where I felt like all I was doing was disciplining. And you never hear, oh, thank you, Mom, for this amazing lunch and breakfast and dinner. Thank you for washing all my clothes. You never, ever hear that. Never. So just remember, you know, and even if you have teenagers, you know, go die in their world. I used to just go in their bedroom and lay on the floor when they were, because I used to call their bedrooms their dorm rooms. They would come home and hang in their dorm. So I'm like, fine, I'm going to go to their dorm. They don't own this dorm. We own the dorm. So I'm just going to go in there and hang out. I would lay on the floor and just lay there and probably annoyed them. And they probably got angry at me. But eventually they would talk. And it was wonderful. Some of the, like, the best times ever were in their bedrooms like that. So you won't hear thank you, but the Lord is watching. And that should be more of a motivator than anything, that the Lord is watching how you're being a mom, how you're being a friend if you're not a mom, how you're being a sister, like whatever he's called you to, he should be your motivator, in all honesty. So what are we pouring ourselves into is the question. And if you don't have kids, someone's hurting. There's another younger woman who would love to have a friend, who would love to be poured into, who would love to get together and do lunch. And so pray that the Lord guides you and shows you in that. So what are we pouring ourselves into? We only have so much time, energy, resources to use in this short life. Are we being thoughtful and purposeful about who and what we pour into? Many pour into worthless things. This choice determines if we will live well. Paul sensed time was close for him to depart from this earth and enter heaven. As he says in verse 6, my departure is at hand. So departure, a term that can be to describe a few things, taking up the anchor so a ship could set sail, enter out into the great seas, taking down a tent in order to depart and move on to a new location, setting a prisoner free from a jail cell. All of these beautiful analogies of the death process for a believer in departing is simply a departure from this world into our eternal destiny with the Lord. It's a glorious transition when we are set free from struggles presently. Then we enter the glorious rest in a new realm. Philippians 1 says, I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. In the meantime, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. This is the glorious hope and encouragement for the follower of Jesus Christ. Death should not be a terrifying enemy. The death process is simply the tool to help us depart and transition. Paul wanted to be able to enter into glory without regrets. He kept this in focus, and this is what enabled Paul to remain faithful and help him to finish well. So for us, our departure from this earth could be closer than we know. Are we living with a sense of the shortness of time, like today could be our last? Are we redeeming time, giving our best to the Lord, making the most of opportunities now to avoid having regrets when our time is up? Are we ready to depart and meet Jesus, comfortable that we've poured out our best? As we move on in verse 7, he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Paul fought when battles came because he knew it was a good thing to fight for, to fight against sin, to fight to do God's will, even when it's hard to fight for what is best and the best welfare of people who love so that they're not defeated and destroyed by evil. I want to encourage you as women, let's not fight over foolish things, but let's fight for what's good. Paul persevered when he was weary, hurting, or discouraged and running his race. He was committed to do whatever it took to finish He was a man with a backbone. He wanted to remind Timothy to not be a quitter. Tony. I always do that with Tony and Tommy. Tony knows the exact date he got saved and always has the years, but I don't, it's kind of a blur for me. I know it was like, 16, 17, somewhere around there, but I don't have like an actual date where he does. But through the years, it is sad to see like friends that you thought you did ministry. I mean, there's couples we did ministry with who are not welcoming the Lord, and they're not even married. They're divorced. And their families are a mess. And it just, you weep and you cry and you pray, Lord, why? Like, but they just didn't have a backbone. They gave up. They gave in. They stumbled and they just went with it. And pray, encourage. We need to have a backbone to keep going when it's hard. He wanted to remind Timothy not to be a quitter and not to give up easily. Timothy at times would need to persevere and keep going even when it was hard. We will face times when we are weary and discouraged, and we will want to stop and quit. There's been times where I've said, I cannot do anymore. I would say to my girlfriend, I'm clocking out and I'm done. You do this. This is hard work, and I always feel like I'm the bad person. And I love these people, and I'm still the bad person. Like, I can't do everything right. I'm human. And I would want to just quit. And then I would get before the Lord and beg him to just show me, because I needed to hear from him. I needed to hear from his word. I needed to be reminded, why are we doing this? It's hard and lonely and I'm weary. And then the Lord would be faithful to say, he's your husband, but he's my shepherd. And you cannot get in my way. And he would be faithful to say, keep going. And I would say, okay, Lord, we'll keep going. We'll keep doing what you want us to do, whatever your will is. And by God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, like other faithful people before us, we must persevere and keep going. Whatever it takes, let us finish and finish strong. Paul maintained his lifelong loyal devotion to the Christian faith. He kept his trust in Jesus. He continued to walk with the Lord, honoring him always. He also did not compromise or try to create a different version of Christianity. Let us be fully committed to our Lord and faithfully honor him till the end. May we determine to get to the end of our journey, fight through every battle, yet do whatever it requires to keep our trust in the Lord, honor and serve him loyally. In verse 8, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul envisioned the day coming when he'd be rewarded with the victor's crown, given by Jesus for both living right and remaining faithful to what was right. He knew Jesus was like a righteous athletic judge who observed how each competitor runs their own race. Noticing if they faithfully honor the rules and seeing the diligent effort they put in to the cross, to the finish line. Then the Lord, as a fair judge, ensures each one is properly rewarded. He ensures Timothy and us. The Lord will reward all who serve him. The Lord's paying attention to those who, with resolve to stay faithful to what is righteous, because they look forward to Jesus' return. In Revelation 22, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. Paul reminds us all, it's totally possible to remain faithful and finish life well. It's all about choices. It's about commitment. It's about realizing this life is about preparing for the life to come. And ladies, let us determine to pour out our life for the Lord until our departure. Let us fight for what's good, for what's godly, for what matters. Let us be those who finish what we start. Remain on task till it's done. Let us keep our faith and finish well as godly women. One day, and I can't wait, I don't know about you, we will hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in. Oh, what joy will that day be. The third and final main lesson of Paul sharing with Timothy and us, it is a necessary life skill to navigate personal difficulty. I'm going to repeat that. It's a necessary life skill to navigate personal difficulty. We see this as a recurring theme in verses 9 through 22. I cannot emphasize everything, so I will touch upon highlights as we move through these verses. Verses 9 through 10. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Demas had once served together with Paul as a companion in ministry work. But gradually Demas fell in love with the worldly things and all that the world had offered. The world's systems and its affairs caught his attention and drew him in. Then it caused Demas to turn away from a prior commitment to the things of the Lord that he had had. And at some point, he forsook Paul and no longer helped him in the Lord's work. Paul was abandoned by a prior friend and partner he had served together with, and this was hurtful and disappointing and left Paul very discouraged and also left him with a heavier load. One life reality is that even amongst Christians in the church, not everyone stays committed. Not everyone will stay loyal by your side. It is sad, and it's a sad, hard reality. But you will be forsaken at times by people that you love dearly. It will be hurtful, disappointing, and discouraging as people abandon and leave. But we must learn how to adjust and carry on regardless who abandons the ship. In verse 10c and 11a, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. Other times people would move on, and it wouldn't be for a negative or a wrong reason. It would be because the Lord's having to move on. That's happened in our life. Sadly, you know, I was still brokenhearted over people leaving, but I knew in one family that I loved with all my heart and thought we would die doing ministry together. The Lord had them move back here. And it was really a dark, dark time in my life when they left. But we're together again. So God is good. I had no idea he would bring us together again. Circumstances teach people come and go in life. Situations will change periodically. You notice I get attached very easily. That's just who I am. I always tell myself, okay, Lord, they're not mine. They're not my people. They're not my people. They're your sheep. They're your sheep. They're going to come and go. They're going to come and go. They're your sheep. They're your sheep. I have to tell myself that pretty much every week. Tell myself that. Luke had become a long-term loyal partner in standing by and serving Paul. Pray that God gives you one or a few long-term loyal people that stay with you. They are like gold to me. They are the ones when I'm falling apart or something heavy like the loss of my granddaughter is happening, show up my door with dinner and just sit and cry with me or do things when they keep saying, what can I do? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. There's nothing to be done. Make my things I'm supposed to bring for Easter dinner, make my meal, my sides for me in a plethora. I'm supposed to bring one dessert, and I think she made like four or five. Like, those are the friends you want by your side. Like, they're invaluable, you know, and God does that. He's faithful. If you pray for friends like that, he will give them to you. These people are crucial and helpful to navigate the journey with. In verse 11, we see, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Mark had failed earlier in his life when serving with Paul and his ministry team. He could not handle the pressures, and he did not remain faithful, and he quit. Paul was very frustrated with young Mark's immaturity and lack of reliability. Paul was like an ox and a bulldozer. He was frustrated that Mark did not stay, and when Paul went on a second missionary trip, he refused to give Mark opportunity. Yet this shows over time that Mark had matured, he grew and changed, and Paul knew it. It's a beautiful thing. Now Paul asks him for his assistance. Please come, join the ministry, and called him useful. We find two lessons here. If you failed in the past, you can grow and change and become very useful later on. So don't let the enemy condemn you. You can be used later on. And then the second point is, if someone failed, be open to seeing change and growth. Give another chance. Verses 12 and 13, and Tychicus. I love all these words. They're just so fun for me. I have sent to Ephesus, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. This is why I did not homeschool, because I would have destroyed my kids' education. Literally, I would have destroyed it. Paul was incredibly spiritual, yet still a very practical man, asking for a coat. You know, sometimes we think it's like this real high thing. It's a coat. Let's be practical here, right? Many solid spiritual leaders are very practical and orderly people. I love to read. And a funny fact about me is I'm always reading probably 2 to 4 books at a time. Because I get bored of one, and I'm like, oh, let's see what this one says. So right now I'm reading like 4 books. It's just I've always done it all my life. I love to read, and that's why I love the winter and the fall, because I love the rain and the snow, because it makes me stay in. When it's nice, I'm out. So less reading happens in the summer for me, which is sad. So that's why I do love a rainy day. You people all think I'm weird with the cold and the rain, but now you know my secret. We also see that Paul was a reader. He wanted his reading materials in prison. I don't know what I would want in prison. I wouldn't want to be there. In a miserable time in his life, Paul wanted to feed his mind with good thoughts. Reading our Bible and quality books can help the mind stay on track in hard times. And I would have to say, during a difficult time, like what we are walking through, I would have my devotions in the morning, and then by the afternoon, I would be like, I need to sit with the Lord again. Lord, you've got to talk to me. Because this is hard. Not only am I grieving the loss of all that could have been, but I'm grieving for my daughter's empty arms. I ache for her, you know, and I'm trying to help her walk through this. So just seek him. If you sought him in the morning, you don't say, oh, I've already had my quiet time. Seek him again. If it's a hard trial you're walking through and you need answers, sit down. I sat down the second time that day, and wow. I underlined verses of promises and his faithfulness, and he flooded me with his peace, and I was like, okay, Lord. And you know what he kept saying? Trust me. Trust me. Your daughter's trusting me. Trust me. Trust me with your daughter and this whole situation. And you know, as moms, that's hard. It's hard to let go and trust. Because we think, oh, nobody loves them like mom. Nobody. Ever. You know what I'm saying? All right, let's go on. Verse 14. But he does. He does love them more. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Even though Paul did what was right in serving the Lord, it did not make him immune. I thought I had a tissue, but I don't. Okay. Sorry, guys. I thought I put one up here. Thank you. Sorry, guys. Even though Paul did what was right in serving the Lord, it did not make him immune from being hurt and experiencing harm by the mistreatment of others. The world is filled with sinful and selfish people who do cruel things. God may not shield us from everything hard that can happen to us on earth. Sometimes we endure painful and harmful things in life. I pray that it'll drive you to his feet and not away. That's what it's meant to do. We cannot let this cripple us with resentment and develop a victim mindset. That's what I have chosen to do with my upbringing. I don't want to be I don't want to have the victim mindset. I want to surrender to the Lord. We cannot use this excuse. We are wounded and deserve right to be, and we have the right to behave wrong. We must commit the matter to the Lord. Trust him to deal with that person. Then seek the Lord's healing, and then we must move onward. Move ahead in life. Don't stay stuck there, because it's ugly, and it can really rip your mind apart. And I tell you, after memorize verses, ask the Lord. I've always been like, I can't do that, but the Lord's having me memorize scripture, and I'm telling you, those are the things I'm crying out in the middle of the night. If I can't sleep, or if I'm struggling with thoughts, or my mind's placed not healthy places, I just start quoting. Maybe I don't have the words to say, but I just start repeating that scripture, and the next thing I know, I'm flooded with this peace, and it's gone. Sometimes the most harmful things done to us can be redeemed and used. We see this in Joseph. Don't you just love Joseph's story? I just could read it and read it and read it. He was badly abused by his own family. Hello? His brothers, people you think, oh, they've got the very best for me. They love me. But no. I'm going to just read Genesis chapter 50, verse 20 real quick to you guys. But I really encourage you to read all about Joseph's story. But as for you, my brothers, I'm ad-libbing, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is to this day to save many people alive. That just blows my mind that he was able to just use it for the good because he was in a right place with his heart and mind. Verse 15, back in Timothy chapter 4, you also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Paul had no problem wisely identifying unhealthy, harmful, and dangerous people. They are out there and around us. It's sometimes the greatest act of love to warn others of harmful people. In verses 16 through 18, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul is referring to how when he went before trial, being falsely accused, that shockingly and sadly, not one person stood by his side to testify of his testimony, of his character. Think of all that Paul had done over his life to pour into so many people, and not one stood up for him. Yet at his hardest hour, no one stood loyally by him to defend his character or even just support him with encouragement in such a dark and difficult time. Paul, he blows my mind, did not even become bitter over it. May it not be charged against them, he says. In other words, he knew people are weak and they are not always reliable or very committed. But the Lord, he said, stood with me and he strengthened me. Here we see where Paul's ability to keep going through hard things came. It stemmed from his own relationship with the Lord. This was his life anchor, and he knew the Lord always remained with him through everything. He received daily strength from the Lord himself, and he was empowered by him. At times, you will go through heavy things, and you may have to do it alone. Maybe no one steps in to help, or maybe they just can't fix the situation. Yet the Lord will stand in the fire with you, and he will strengthen you. Paul describes how the Lord intervened to rescue him from total ruin. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The overpowering lion was about to devour my life, and the Lord intervened. There are times when we realize we are weak and helpless. There are occasions we see the Lord step in to show his help and his power. Paul learned the past faithfulness of the Lord, assured he did give future help. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. Paul knew that if the Lord intervened to help resolve his past crisis, that he could be at peace when the next problem arose, that the Lord will work again. What the Lord did for you in other situations is your basis of faith now. That's why I encourage you to write things in your journal. When the Lord's speaking to you or when the Lord's done something really awesome, write it down, because you are, I mean, that's the first thing I did. I was skewing through my journals, just like, okay, Lord, where are you? I want to see your faithfulness. Let me hear from you. He will remain faithful to help me and always until I enter his kingdom. This realization should inspire us to worship the Lord even in hardship. Even if you need to cry through the song. Just continue worshiping him. Verse 19 and 20. We're almost done, girls. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Aristos stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. I'm so glad we don't have these names now, aren't you? They're much simpler. Though God used Paul at times to bring miraculous healing, a full study of Paul's life in Scripture, clearly he could not just heal everyone, right? Whenever he chose, it wasn't like he was using a superpower. Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and he could not remove it. Timothy had stomach issues, and Paul told him to use medicine to feel better. And I know sometimes we're like, why do we have this? Why is God allowing this in my life? Well, maybe he wants to drive you deeper, you know, make those roots go down even deeper than what they are. And maybe some of you are like, I can't go any deeper. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, we can. Then we see here Trophimus Paul had to leave behind because after prayer, he didn't recover. Health problems are a part of our journey on earth in these temporary tents. They are falling apart as we get older. I'll be 53 this summer, and I hurt every day. I'm like, why? What is the purpose of this? I don't know why. Why am I hurting all the time? So I need to stretch. That helps the hurting. I have to take time. So you have to take time and stretch. God miraculously heals if he wills to now for his purpose and his glory. But he may not always heal physically every health issue while on earth. This is part of the reality of earthly life. We must humbly accept this while we're here. Experiencing sickness and health problems are a part of navigating personal difficulty. We will have health issues. Others we love will suffer through such. We can't always fix our health or other people's ailments. It's all a mystery that God rules over, deciding how these things play out. We must learn how to accept what God allows and yield to that outcome. Verse 21, do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudin, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. Paul was not opposed to ask for Timothy's help where he saw it would be beneficial. Yes. And in verses 9 through 13, he repeatedly asked Timothy to come to him. He even asked him to bring things he thought would help and to get to certain people and to go get certain people that would be important in that situation. Though Paul depended on the Lord foremost, in balance, he also realized the Lord uses people to help us in certain ways, right? All the mention of the names and the relationships, it shows Paul valued relationships. He valued friendships. This is one of the most helpful things in navigating through hard times. Build relationships into your life along the journey. You will need them. In verse 22, he ends with, the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, be with your spirit, and grace be with you. Amen. Paul had learned and wanted Timothy and us to know, despite what happens in life or what people do to us, or if people abandon us, the Lord is with us, and he will never depart, and his grace is sufficient. Amen. And I just want to share this poem that was written in a time of a time where she was going through really, you know, where you just got to hear from him. And the Lord gave her all these poems, which is really cool. Sense his presence in the room. I will see him in the darkness. I will feel him in the gloom. Though his special touch seems distant, sense his presence in the room. I will trust him without answers. I will trust and wait and rest, knowing that his ways are sovereign and his ways are always best. He will fill my empty heartache. He will comfort all my pain. Though the path seems dark and lonely, trusting him will make it plain. How unsearchable his judgments, how unfathomable his ways. He is mighty in his power and persistent through my days. Longing soul, just wait on Jesus. Listen, watch, rest, and wait. Sit a while alone with Jesus. He will melt away the hate. Bringing all your thoughts to Jesus, stop the madness, silence the doubt, take your troubled soul to Jesus, for he knows what you're all about. Let him drench your soul with patience. Let him wash away your gloom. Let him take away the anger. Sense his presence in the room. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are a king. You are a God. Yet you are an incredible dad who just wants us to come. Lord, you call us in your subtle, quiet way to sit with you and to seek you, to cry out to you, to read your word. I pray, Father, that as we end 2 Timothy, I just pray, Lord, that you would bless our table time and that you would just remind us, Lord, how much you want us to seek you and to keep trusting you, that you have the better plan, that your ways are not our ways, your thoughts are not our thoughts. Help us, Lord, to be daughters who trust you and not anything the world has to offer. In your precious name we pray. Amen.